Okay, we're in the Gemara Sota Mem Hey Amud Alf. We're going to backtrack three or four lines because it's the middle of a sugya and it's been a weekend, so we'll just quickly review the three, four lines we did before. If you recall, we said you find a corpse, the Torah says you find a corpse, Ba Adoma, on the ground, that excludes a corpse that's covered by a pile. If there's a corpse and there's a pile of stones over it, you uncover the pile, you see the corpse. There's no mitzvah of doing the Egla Rufa. Okay, now we're going to find out who is that opinion like, where we exclude things that are covered up on the ground. So the Gemara says, Lema masnisin Rabbi Yehuda hi velo rabbanan. Let's say this Mishnah is consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and is not the opinion of the rabbanan. How do we know this? Because there's a different machlokas regarding things that are concealed, regarding the mitzvah of shikha and peah, shikha rather, of forgetting to pick up stalks or bundles from the ground when you're harvesting. And what if the bundle you forget is concealed? Is that still the mitzvah of shikha and that poor people get it, or it's not? So is it included in the mitzvah or excluded in the mitzvah? So that's the similarity to the concept with the Egla Rufa, with the corpse on the ground. Is it a covered up corpse? The Mishnah says is excluded from the mitzvah. So let's see when it comes to forgotten bundles of wheat that are covered, are they excluded or included? So the Tani we learn in the Mishnah, it says the following, Veshikachas Omer, when the Torah says, Basodeh, when the Torah says, and you forget a bundle of grain on the field, Basodeh, that's Prat Latamun, and that excludes things that are covered. If it's covered, it's not part of the mitzvah. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, these are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. And that's what the Gemara wants to say. Let's assume our Mishnah is the same Rabbi Yehuda. Because just like our Mishnah says, if the corpse is covered up, it's excluded from the mitzvah. You see, Rabbi Yehuda says, if the forgotten sheaf is covered up, it's excluded from the mitzvah. And it's not going to be like the next opinion of that brisa. V'chachamim omrim, come and say, ba soda l'rabba says hatamun. The fact that it says ba soda, that comes to include tamun. Way he's going to remember, we're going to say, he's going to, how do we learn what the bays means? That's what we said. Rabbi Yehuda and the sages disagree over the meaning of the prefix ba in the word ba soda. What does ba mean? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it means on. So you find sheaves on, forgotten on the field, so only on the field, but not in the field, right? So that's this limit. The sages, however, interpret the prefix ba to mean in. Thus, the phrase in is expounded to include sheaves that are buried under the surface of the field or otherwise covered. Certainly on, for sure, if buried is forgotten, certainly on is forgotten. For according to the sage, so therefore our Mishnah is not like the rabbis. For according to the sages, who interpret the word basa to mean in the field and thus include covered sheaves in the law of shikha, we should also interpret the word ba'adam in the passage of Egla Ruv to mean in the ground, not on it, thus including corpses in the requirement. Therefore, the Mishnah, our Gemara thought, our Mishnah is not like the Chachamim. Our Mishnah says if the corpse is concealed, is covered up, it's not in the mitzvah. Because it also says, you find it ba'adam. The Torah says the same word ba'adam, just like Beishikra says ba'soda. So what does ba mean? In or on? So the rabbis say it means in. So according to them, when you're going to talk about the corpse, so even covered and it's in would also be part of the mitzvah. And our Mishnah is obviously not like him. That's what the Gemara assumed. Amar Rav comes along, Rav, and says no. Afilu Tamar Brani, could even say it's the Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan learned by Shikacha that it means in. They can still learn that by a corpse it means on. And why can they make a difference? Why will they learn it different in both places? Because it depends. Hocha mein yonet akra. Here, by the Egla Rufa, we have to learn the word ba as it fits into the context of the verse that precedes it. And hocha mein yonet akra. And over there, by shikacha, we have to learn it in the context of the verse that we learn it. In words, the preposition beis can mean on, it can mean in. And depending on the context, that really Bakken has many, many, many meanings. Just like the word key. Key has six meanings. So it depends on the context. So the same is going to be in the context. Now they're going to explain to you the context. Dichsiv. Let's look at both areas and see why the context would suggest one way and not the other way. It says, ki motse cholo. It says, if you find a corpse. Now, what does can you find a corpse mean? Just those words. Hechen mishach, wherever you find a corpse. That's how the whole mitzvah is presented. If you will find a corpse. Now, what does the general term finding mean? Anywhere. Right? So, kol hechen mishach, wherever you find it. So that would assume even in a pile of stones. Now, once I say, when I find a corpse, I don't have to say any more. In other words, I don't have to say if you find a corpse on the ground, just say if you find a corpse. If you find a corpse in between two cities and you don't know who the closest one is, let's measure. Am I missing? No, but I'm just saying, if it would just say if you find a corpse in between two cities, am I missing any information to understand what's going on? No. I don't care where you find it. Yeah. Oh, so now that's what that would mean. But now I've added a word. Ba'adama. Now, you know, why am I adding that word? I mean, without the word, where else are you going to find a corpse? Right? Of course you find a corpse. Wherever. So wherever, the pasuk, when it says wherever, when you find, under a pile, not under a pile, wherever. So why are you saying ba adama? Why are you saying ba adama? If you're going to say it means on the earth, then what did you have to say it for? I knew that without the word. If I would not have the word bo adam, if it's just if you find a corpse but near a city, so then I figured. Oh, that's another pasuk. You're right. That's why if there's other words that will exclude it. But if, with this word alone, I'd assume anywhere. So now, what am I doing with the next word bo adama? Would I need the word bo adama? Of course, on the earth. Well, so it must be telling me something. It has to tell me something because I don't need the word. The only thing it could be telling me if I learned Bo Adama means on the land. Well, what are you going to tell me on the land for? Of course. No, that's prat, to exclude Latama, to exclude something that's concealed. Because you didn't need the word Bo Adama at all. You could have just said, if you find a corpse, which would have meant anything. To say, if you find a corpse, you know, on the ground, well of course, where else are you going to find a corpse? So therefore, they're going to say it must mean only on the ground and not in the ground. Yeah.
What would be the rationale for that? I mean, if a murderer kills somebody,
okay,
covers it with blood.
First of all, we don't need to know rationales. God's Torah doesn't need any rationales.
Well, we know with the shikhtha, for example, it's not really forgotten if it was.
Well, I don't understand. What's this? Why would you say two is shikhtha and three isn't? I mean, this is what God says, you know, these things are beyond the week. Not everything has a rationale.
But the whole mitzvah, so that people should...
Again, you're making a huge mistake if you're talking like that, because you think the only reason for the mitzvah is the one we understand. There's 9 million more reasons that we don't understand. So the one little one that we don't understand doesn't fit. Okay, let's know the other 9 million, you'll see it'll be perfect. We got to get out of that mindset that it's because they'll learn social responsibility. Shkoyach. That's the only reason God gave mitzvahs. God created the Torah before He created a murder, before He created an egla rufa. So our limited baby minds, that's what we could take in. That's all. Not all every exclusion fit. If we understood it as mystically as God understood it, you'd say, it makes perfect sense. It doesn't have to make sense to us. The Torah is clearly telling us that's excluded. Finished. That's excluded. So why? Yeah, you got to have faith in the Almighty that He knows what He's doing. All right? So that's why in the context, the word Ba'adama can mean nothing else but on top of the ground. So it can exclude that which is in the ground. But that's over. That's what they can argue. What about by forgotten sheaves? For awesome over there, also meaning other crooks. You have to look at the context of the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ki siktzor kitzircha basoda v'shachachta omer." when you reap your harvest in the field and you forget a sheaf. Now, why does it have to say the words, you know, it could just say when you're in your field and you forget a sheaf. What's to say? You reap your harvest in the field and forget a sheaf. It's in the context of reaping. So therefore, the Torah is saying a similarity, shikha, the forgetting, it has to be dumya to cut, to be just like the harvesting. It could just say when you forget some, if you just forget some sheaves. Why does it have to say when you're harvesting? It's understood you'd forget sheaves when you're harvesting. To tell me that it's got to be similar to what harvesting is. That's what we're saying. And how is that? Ma, kotzer, just like harvesting has to be begol. Whatever you harvest is something you see. You can't harvest something you don't see. So avshicha, so too, what you forget, you'd think would be only begoli what you could see. That's what you think, only what you could see. But so that, and that would be fine. But why does it say kosev rachmona? Why does it say basoda? Why does it say basoda? What is that telling me? Again, why do you have to say, where else are you going to find sheaves that's not on the ground? Where else are you going to find a sheaf? Right? Person's harvesting, you're going to find it on the ground. But what's the word? So that must be, well, I would have thought it has to be just like harvesting. It has to be in the open. So that word basoda is clarifying l'rabas asatamun to include that which is covered. That word is saying not only, it doesn't have to be totally like, I would have thought it has to totally be like harvesting. And I would have thought only if it's in the open like harvesting. Comes the word basoda to say, no, not only in the open, even if it's not in the open. So that's the context is telling us this. So our Mishnah, you don't have to say, is not like the Chachamim, because they would agree that by a corpse, that if it's concealed, you wouldn't do it because the context suggests a different halacha. So that's very good. So you clear? You got that idea? According, it seemed like Rabbi Yehuda was just straight across. Concealed is out. Concealed is out. And that's consistent. He's saying, no, look at the context of the verses, and the context of the verses would suggest opposite results because of the context that it's in. When the Torah says you find a corpse, we think anywhere. So basoda, what is that telling me if I already know anywhere? It means even in the field, when it says harvesting, which I would think only revealed, because it has to be like harvesting, comes the word ba'adama, basoda, to say no, that even things that are concealed is included in that. Okay, now, the Gemara now goes to Rabbi Yehuda and says, okay, Rabbi Yehuda, so why are you arguing on the Chachamim by Peah? Remember, he says by Peah that if it's concealed, it's still Peah, right? Shikha. It's still Shikha. So what do? The rabbis have a good explanation. They're saying, when it said, I would have thought it's like the harvesting, it has to be in the open, comes along, Basada says even concealed. So why is Rabbi Yehuda arguing with that? That seems to be a very good explanation. Why does he say when it's concealed that it's excluded? Right? Why would you? Because what are you going to do with the word basada? What are you going to do with the word basada? Okay? So Rabbi Yehuda, Nami, so say the same thing. Let him say the same thing. Tepoklei, use the same logic. Mishikha dumira kotzer. Let him derive the law that excludes covered sheaves from the same idea that you think that the shikha has to be similar to the harvest which is in the open, and therefore why is it saying basodim to include it as well? The lach chachamim is good. Why doesn't he agree with the lach chachamim? What's he differing on? Gemara says, you know what? In Achanami, that's right. He does agree. He does agree that initially when we see the word you're harvesting, it means that which is in the open. And therefore we think only things that which are in the open. He would agree with that line of logic. But that next part when it says basada, where the Chachamim says it means to include in the ground, but he's going to learn basada for something else. Ve'ela basada, but the word basada in the field, lamali. What are you going to do with the word basada? If you're going to say it's similar, then if it includes that which is only revealed, so lamali, what do I need it for? So he says like this. You need it, mi boile l'rabos, to include another type of shikha. There's two types of forgetting. There's forgetting bundles and forgetting stocks. The Torah doesn't actually explicitly say the word stocks. It says when you're harvesting your produce. So therefore, he needs to include standing produce. In other words, of a portion of field that remained uncut because the reaper overlooked it. There's two types of shikha. Where are you going to learn the second one from? The phrase on the field, is expounded to teach that the grower is forbidden to go back and cut this forgotten grain. That's what he says basad is for. The words, and you forget, you have like this. First, it's the Torah says, and you forget a sheaf. What's a sheaf? It's a bundle. And not only cut, it's bundled up. The Torah only says the mitzvah shikha with bundles. It didn't say anything about stalks. But the halacha is, it's the same with stalks. But where do we get it from? So he gets from the extra word, basada. And you forget a sheaf, and he'll learn like this. Or what is basada on the field, stalks. In other words, the pasuk speaks about harvesting, and that's out in the open. So shikha has to be out in the open and not concealed. The Chachamim said, basada says, we're going to include concealed. He said, I need basada to include standing stalks. Where am I going to get standing stalks from that are included in that? That's from basada on the field. That's how he learns that. Oh, so what's going to be the question now? How do the rabbis know standing stalks? Because they're using basada to say even in the ground. V'rabbanan. Shikha's coming, Ali. How are they going to know that the standing stalks are also including the mitzvah shikha? They're not using the word basada on the field to include stalks on the field. They're using it to include what's concealed. So what are they going to do? Nafka laho. They're going to learn it when it says, michi tiktzor kitzircha basodcha besodecha. They're going to learn it when this law from when you reap your harvest in your field, fishachach, and you forget it. What does that mean? The juxtaposition of the phrases in your field and you forget. That's how it says. Kisiksar kitzircha basodcha, when you reap your harvest in your field, vishachachta, and you forget. It's right next to the word basodcha. Teaches that even if one forgets part of his field and leaves it uncut, that too is considered shikacha. Now, let's explain this. The word basodcha in your field is read according to this exposition together with the next word, vishachachta, and you forget. It thus conveys the meaning of forgetting your field. So in other words, it's like an extra, it says when you're harvesting your bundles and you forget in your field, meaning you're forgetting other things in your field. Other things in your field, a little bit of a stretch. You're forgetting, because it says the word vishachachta right after the word besatcha, which is implying that in your field, you're forgetting things in your field. Not anything in your field, not just a sheaf. It's anything in your field. That's the point.
What else could there be?
Well, he's standing stalks can also be forgotten.
It is in your field. Well,
yeah, it's not sheaf.
But the Torah only said a sheaf, right? So therefore, it's telling us the juxtaposition, because he's already used basadcha to exclude that which is to include that which is concealed. So now he has to say by the juxtaposition. And what's Rabbi Yehuda do with that juxtaposition? He's going to use that juxtaposition to teach a teaching of Rabbi Bo named Rabbi Eliezer. Dam Rabbi Bo and Rabbi Eliezer. He says, Prat le'shetzafu on le'toch stechaver. The term on your field serves to exclude the law of shikha, where his sheaves floated on the field of his friend. The wind blew your stalk into your friend's field. And you forgot it. Does it belong to the poor or not? No. Besotcha, it has to be in your field. That's what they do with the juxtaposition. To say that there's, if the wind blew my stalk in another guy's field, and I forgot it. Well, you don't have to give for that because it wasn't in your field. Ah, okay. So how are the rabbis going to learn that law now? V'rabbanan mibsotcha. How are they going to learn that? Bitsotcha. So where are they going to lose that? Gemara explains, from the word, it doesn't say mi bas sodeh, but bis sodcha. The rabbis derived the exclusion of sheaves and found in neighbors from the fact that the Torah could have said, when you reap your field, bas sodeh in the field. But rather it said, bis sodcha in your field. This indicates an additional loss to be derived from this one word, namely that only sheaves forgotten in your field, like it's shicha. Had the Torah only intended the word besodcha to teach that standing produce is shicha, it should have just used the basic word basada. Basada would also mean in the field. That's standing. Sodcha, your field, means your field and not somebody else's field. Aye, so what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with that extra cha? Rabbi Yehuda, basada besodcha, he says, lomashwa, there's nothing to learn from that. That's not considered extra. That's how they always close it out. It says, I don't feel that's extra. Yehuda maintains that the extra cha of besodcha cannot be expounded to derive an additional law. So therefore, bottom line, let's go back to where we started from. Who is our Mishnah that says a corpse that's under a pile is excluded from the Rufa? The answer is, it's not only Rabbi Yehuda, it can also be the Chachamim, and therefore the Mishnah goes according to everybody. And the reason why Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim argue by sheaves that are forgotten is because they learned the Psukim differently in the context that's over there. Okay, now that's the end of that sugya, so to speak. Now we're going to ask an interesting question. Now, Shaila. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya. So now we've fallen into shikha world. Now we're going to discuss some shikha. Forget about Egla Rufa. We now go back, we stick with shikha now, the forgetting the thing. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya asked the following Shaila. Tzofu omrim letoch sadeu. Let's say sheaves got blown into your own field. In other words, your sheaves were on the ground, and the wind blew them, and now they're resting on something other than the ground. Let's say on a big boulder. Okay? Now, and it really doesn't matter, the question really doesn't matter how they got there, but they're there. Really, the English word tzafu means floated. But it doesn't matter. So now the question is, it's no longer sitting. Now, we said if it blows into your friend's field, not an issue. But let's say it's here, and now it blew onto whatever, onto your tractor. Okay, so you forgot on the tractor. Now, what's the halacha? Here's the shaila. What's the shaila? So technically, is it on the ground?
No.
It's not on the ground. Is it buried in the ground? It's not buried in the ground. So the question is, what's the airspace of your field considered like? Would you not agree that if it's sitting on a tractor, it's on the airspace on top of the field? How do we treat the airspace of your field? That's the question. Mahu, what is the law? Avir sada kesada dummy, is the airspace of the field considered like the field? It says like you found it on your field? Olav, or kesada dummy, or it's not like your field. It's not in the field, right? The Gemara wonders whether the term in the field implies a forgotten sheaf be lying on the ground of the field the way sheaves are usually found after harvesting. Thus, although in regard to the laws of transactions, the airspace of a yard is considered part of a yard, the Gemara wonders whether it's so regarding the law of shikha. Okay, we know if things, the certain laws, if something goes through your yard, say somebody throws something through your yard, it's possible that your land was koneit, acquired, even though it ends up somewhere else. But what about for this law? Because here it says on the field. So what's the law? Is there a law of shikhan it or not? Amrle Rav Kahana le Rav Pepi, Rav Papi, Rav Kahana says to Rav Papi, Va'amrila, and some says Rav Kahana said to Rav Zvid, Tiv Shot Le, we can resolve this issue, Mida Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Lazar, from what the statement of Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Lazar already taught, already learned, we just brought this. The Amr, he says, what do we exclude? It's on your field, prat, to exclude, l'shitzofa omrim l'tok sachavera. If your sheaf blows into your other friend's field, right? We said that's excluded. Now, why did he say it was blown into your other friend's field? Why didn't he just say it was blown somewhere onto your field? Why did he only say the exclusion is when your bundle goes into your friend's field? Why doesn't he say if it's excluded, when it blew somewhere else in the airspace? Must be the chavero in the exclusion. The exclusion is when it's in your friend's field. That's when it's an exclusion. Must be implying l'toch sadeo, but into his own field, somewhere else is a low. It's not excluded. Because why wouldn't he have said that? You're ready. Yeah, it's more common also. Isn't it more likely it's going to, if the wind's going to blow, it's a lot further to blow it into the friend's field than just right on top of the tractor, right? And that was an obvious possibility, and he's ignored it. Must be, he holds, that in your own field, the airspace is not considered. That's what he would say. So that's what Gemara suggests. Okay, Gemara not happy with that. More rejects a little time, but according to your understanding, the Rebbe Huda discussed a case where the sheaves are not lying on the ground, then we should make the following deduction. Do you want to make also the following deduction? Letok sarach avero, when it blows into his friend's field, tsafu in munachin lo. It would come out only if they floated onto something else and are not lying on the ground. Are they excluded? Because tsafu means they're floating, right? Floating. So it seems that they're somewhere on top. Tsafu means floating, so they're on something else and not on the ground. That's when they're exempt. But what if it rests on the other guy's ground? Are you going to tell me it's not exempt? That's, you want to be so particular on the language, right? And that's not so. You need it to be in your field, like it's not so. So therefore, you can't look what he's saying literally. Right? If Rabbo's statement regarding sheaves in the neighboring field refers to the case of sheaves that came to rest on an object, this indicates that the basis of this excludes not the fact that these sheaves are not in the grower's field, rather the fact that these sheaves are not lying on the ground. Accordingly, if they are lying on the ground of his neighbors, indeed they can become shikha. That doesn't make sense. Or the source of Rabbo's exclusion is the verse in your field. That's the exclusion. It's from the word in your field. Which certainly implies that this excludes based on the simple fact that the sheaves are in someone else's field. Obviously, then, Ravo must refer to sheaves in someone else's field, regardless of where they're lying on the ground or on top of something else. Thus, no inference can be drawn from this statement regarding sheaves lying on top of something in one's own field, because he's only learning that it's not in your field, but he's not dealing with the airspace. So that's not a proof. Rather, it's clear, Ravia means if it fell on the field, even if they're resting on the ground. Aye, why did he say floating? And that which he says floated into his field, it's not because they came to rest above the ground. It's only a case when they floated because the wind blew them. That's what it means. So it's only selling it when the wind blows it. So there's no proof to our issue over here, so there's no resolution of the shaila from that. That's a totally separate entity, and it's explaining a different point. So let's try to resolve the shaila from somewhere else. Tashma coming here the following, another brisa. Omer shechich sikba lochavir. A guy took a sheaf, he took it from his field, he wants to take it to the town, he wants to take it to the city now. Okay, but what happened? So he's getting a little, remember, he could have a big field. It's exactly what we learned in the Rambam a couple of days ago. He's got a big field. So let's say from the cornfield, he takes the sheaf and he's walking, right? And he has a field in, you know, like a Texas style field. It's huge, it's acres. And now he's going, and now he's still in his field. It's gone like a kilometer already. I'm tired. He's going to put it down. He's still in his field. He puts it down on a sheaf that's already on the ground. So he's putting one sheaf on top of another sheaf, still in his property. Got it? Now, Venicho al Gavichor, he puts it down on another sheaf, and then he forgets them both. In other words, he's done, you know, if you look at these farms, if you look at farm, like you see, they have bundles here, bundle there, they're big ones, huge, those huge circles, you know. But they're all over the place. Okay, we're not talking about that big. But he's been harvested. He's got bundles all over the place. Okay, now it's time to collect them and take them. So he takes one from over here. He carries it. Oh, I'm getting tired. He puts it down on top of an existing bundle. Then later on, he starts getting all the bundles, and he forgets these two. The question is there a mitzvah shikha on these two? Now, there's two separate issues here. The top one, he never really forgot it because he already took it from the field. But after taking it, once he picks it up, because he wants to take the city, it's like he says, it's mine, and I know about it, and I want to take it to the city. So it's already not forgotten. Remember, the forgetting has to be at the harvesting stage. You know, let's say you take a bundle and take it to your house, and then you forget it. You think the poor people get to keep that too? No, it means only forgetting, the forgetting that happens at the time of the harvest. And the harvest means when you're harvesting, and then the first time you're picking up the bundle, you're picking up bundles, you forgot this bundle. Obviously, he didn't forget this bundle because he took it to take to the city. The forgetting is happening later. Do you understand? It's not the context of the Torah's forgetting. It says when you're harvesting and forget. I didn't forget when I harvested. I remembered to take it. I forgot it afterwards. Now, the other, what about the bottom one? The bottom one you forgot, you never took. But wait a minute, it's concealed. Ah, it's concealed by the one on top. So now we got two issues over here. Each bundle has a separate logic going with it. What's the halacha? Hatachton shikha. The bottom one is shikha, because that was forgotten from the beginning. For Elyon, but the top one that you put down ain't a shikha. It's not shikha. This is opinion number one. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Reb Shimon, he says, no, Shnehem ain't shikhan. Neither of them is shikha. Why? Hatacht on the bottom one, mitnei shum, because it's concealed. And there's an opinion that says concealed is not shikha. Va'elyon, and the top one, mitnei shu tzuf, it's floating on top. And I guess the airspace is not. All right? So again, let's go back to that first opinion. What did the first opinion say? The bottom one is shikha and the top one's not shikha. I guess the first opinion says the bottom one says that concealed is excluded. The top one is the airspace. Second one is saying no, that they're both not shikha because the bottom one is concealed and the top one is floating in the air. What? It's resting on the air, right?
It's not underground.
So what do you see? Where are they arguing only about the bottom one? Are they arguing about the top one? No. They both agree the top one's okay. Ad kan lo pligi ela betachton. They're only arguing with the bottom one because they're arguing, do you hold concealed is obligated or not? And that's the same machlokas you had Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. The top one, both of them say, is not shikha at all. Avo ba'elyon, but the top one, Divrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the law is shikha. Must be a proof. If you leave something in the airspace is not considered the field. That's what Warren wants to bring as a proof. Gemara's going to say it's not a proof. And why? Because he already said, because he really didn't forget it. Gemara thinks it's a proof because it's in the air. No. He says, shiny hawk, some of this different. Kivin da achsik bay. Since he grabbed onto it initially, zoche bay, he acquires it. Therefore, he's not exempt. There's no issue of ever having shikha. And we're not even bringing the issue of floating. It's not an issue. The Gemara says, well, if that's the case, then why did you have to say he put it on top of the thing, even on the ground? Right? Why? Because even on the ground, it wouldn't be shikha. Yachi, if so, my ear, why is it saying the case he put it on top of it? Afilu basari nami, even in the field, it would also not be shikha. The Gemara says, you're right, inachinami. No question about it. That's true. And the whole point isn't because if it's on top, for the top one, the main thing is for the bottom one. We're discussing is the bottom one considered concealed because the top one is covering it. It has nothing to do with Allah of the top one because there is no machlokas there. Why did it say he put it on top? Not so that makes the top one okay. It's okay anyway. But mishum tachton, because of the bottom one to say, is it considered concealed or not? And that's the machlokas. Okay, but wait a minute. Remember, the rabbi explained, because it's floating on top. Remember, the second rabbi says the top one is exempt because it's floating on top. Do you want to go back to that? Look what he says. He said,
but we're not discussing the top one.
But when the rabbi said it's exempt, he says, because it's floating on top.
Right.
Why do you have to say because floating? Say because you didn't forget it.
Right.
Well, that's a question. So it should be a proof then. Why is it floating on top? He says, because it's floating on top. Mor says, no. Just say, Amad, let's reread it. Mipnei shehu kitzaf. It's like floating. Okay? It says, if he's still holding on to the sheaf, he means not because it's in the air, it's like he's still holding on to it. That's what it means to say. Okay, so we have no way, no resolution to this question, and it remains unresolved. Okay, good time to stop here.